Our sermon text this morning is Numbers chapter 8, starting in verse 5 to the end of the chapter, verse 26. Numbers 8, 5 to 26. Now hear the word of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them ceremonially. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purification on them and let them shave all their body, and let them wash their clothes and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bull with its grain offering and fine flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another young bull as a sin offering. And you shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall gather together the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So you shall bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord like a wave offering from the children of Israel, that they may perform the work of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls, and you shall offer one as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering to the Lord, to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After that, the Levites shall go in to service the tabernacle of meeting. So you shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering, for they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of all who opened the womb, the firstborn of all the children of Israel. For all the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them to myself. I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel to do the work for the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting and to make atonement for the children of Israel. There be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary." Thus Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so the children of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes. Then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. After that, the Levites went in to do their work in the tabernacle of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend to needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall do to the Levites regarding their duties." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your loving kindness. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, make us to know wisdom. Create in us clean hearts and renew steadfast spirits within us. Restore to us the joy of our salvation and uphold us by your generous spirit. Then we will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Open our lips, and our mouths shall show forth your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning, if you would like to keep up and count, you can count Jesus, and you can count clean and cleanse. So Jesus and clean and cleanse. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're visiting this day, we are in a short sermon series working our way through our liturgy, our order of worship, and we are here in week 2. We left off last Lord's Day in our sermon series with God calling us. God calls us into his presence. This is how worship begins. God initiates. Yahweh God put Adam in the garden, in the sanctuary space. The Lord initiated their union and communion together. And this is how worship begins for us, God's people. He calls us into his presence. So our worship, as you've already noticed, began with a call to worship this morning from Psalm 24. Now, following through our liturgy, we come into the Lord's presence and we respond how we ought. To stand before the holy presence of the true and the living God, we praise him. So in our liturgy, we sing a psalm or a hymn after the call to worship. Then we have a responsive reading to demonstrate that this service is a dialogue. God speaks to his people as people respond back to him. And we'll return to this covenantal dialogue in a later sermon in this series. But the next part of our service is God cleanses. And this is a necessary part of the worship of God with his people. Because in the beginning, Adam sinned. The representative for mankind sinned. And this changed everything for us. It changed everything for the world. For the Lord expelled Adam from his holy presence. Mankind had to leave the presence of God. Adam had to leave the holy garden sanctuary. And this was his just punishment for his disobedience. Adam, representing mankind, lost access to God because of sin. For the Lord promised, Adam, the day you eat of the tree, dying, you will die. It was emphatic. You eat from that tree, you will die. Now you'll notice when Adam sinned, when he and Eve ate of the fruit, they walked out of the garden. So did God withhold that punishment from Adam and Eve? Where was the death that he promised? Well, the wages of sin is death. Sin leads to death. It results in death. So where was the death for Adam and Eve? Well, death was they had to leave. They had to leave the presence of life. God is life. They had to leave God. Adam and Eve were excommunicated. Leave life, enter into death. Yes, Adam and Eve were still moving and breathing, but disconnected from the Lord as the source of life. Not only that, Adam left cursed. Adam was a man made of dirt, and God cursed the dirt. So Adam was a walking, talking dead man. In his sin, he had rejected the Lord of glory. He had hitched his wagon to the serpent, effectively saying in his sin, I'm not listening to the Creator who gave me life anymore. I'm listening to the serpent who's leading me into death. And we know, Jesus tells us, the serpent was a murderer from the beginning. In the curse, the Lord also cursed the serpent. The serpent would crawl around on his belly on the cursed ground. The serpent would eat the dirt in which it crawled. It's no surprise, serpent as a dirt eater seeks to devour men who are also made of dirt. So as Adam left the garden in sin and rebellion, in sin he had followed who would be the dirt eater of death. This was a bad situation in Adam's exit. But with death comes the hope of resurrection. Mankind had hope in the gospel promise. For Eve's son, the seed of the woman, would come and stomp the head of the serpent. The Son of God would come to bring many sons to glory. He would defeat death. He would defeat the one who had the power of death by his own death. thanks be to God, Jesus Christ has won the victory by defeating the devil. But before his advent, the advent of the Son of God, in worship, the Lord graciously brought the people back. God's people didn't have to wait 4,000 years for Jesus to show up. If you read this Bible, a lot happens between Genesis to Matthew. They're not just standing around waiting. By the grace of God, God calls the people back. In worship, God's people worship at altars. They worship at the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. They worship at the temple. These are all locations where God's people worship God. But the problem of sin and death still existed in the world. The ground was still cursed. The dirt was still defiled, unclean. Dead bodies still go back into the ground. Ground is the location of death. So when God called the people back into worship, you can't bring defiled death and dirt back into the presence of life. If you're coming back into the presence of life, you are unclean. You can't come back in. You can't bring the curse in. You can't bring in corruption before pure holiness. So to be in the presence of the true and the living God, man must be cleansed. We must be washed of our defilement. So in our sermon text, we hear from Numbers chapter 8. And Numbers 8 is just one example in the whole testimony of Scripture that illustrates the need for cleansing. Now there are many, many others. Numbers chapter 8 features the Levites preparing for service at the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the holy place, the holy location where God meets with his people. In Leviticus chapter 8, the Lord had already revealed the need for cleansing for the priests, for Aaron and his sons. Numbers 8 has the Levites. Now the Levites were the priestly tribe. They represented the people serving at the tabernacle. And we hear in verse 9, for this cleansing ritual, the Lord says, you shall gather together the whole congregation of the children of Israel. Did you notice that? How often it occurred as I read the text earlier? Children of Israel. So the covenant body gathers for this cleansing rite. Now within the Levitical tribe, the sons of Israel were the priests. They would go into the holy of holy, most holy place. They would represent Israel. They would represent fallen men, the defiled humans in the world. And they would serve. They would serve at God's holy place. So the Levites needed cleansing. If you're going to be near holiness, you need to be cleansed. So the Lord says, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purification on them. Let them shave all their body. Let them wash their clothes and so make themselves unclean. Make themselves clean. If you're going to serve, if you're going to represent, if you're going to stand before God, if you're going to help Aaron and his sons do the priestly work, you need to be cleansed. So the Levites purify themselves, wash their clothes. Then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. After that, the Levites went in to do their work in the tabernacle of meeting before Aaron and his sons. As the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. So to be in the most holy presence of God, to be at the holy location where God dwells within the people, you needed to be cleansed. Well, not only the Levites, not only the priests, but the people too had their own needs of cleansing. The children of Israel needed to be cleansed because the children of Israel had defilements. One could get leprosy that required cleansing. a mother would give birth and needed to go through a period of cleansing. One could be sexually defiled and need to go through a period of cleansing. And all these cleansings happened before the people could go to worship. You had to stay away from God as long as you were unclean. You could not offer sacrifices if you were unclean. So in your daily life, if you came into any contact with something unclean, a dead animal, if you touch someone else unclean, if your wife is unclean and you give her a kiss, you are unclean. So you had to follow the cleansing rituals. Now, it wasn't the end of the world if you became unclean. The defilements were everywhere. You just had to go through these rituals. And in these rituals, the Lord was revealing to his people the pervasiveness of sin. Sin affects everything. Sin gets into everything. Sin and death affect our relationship with the Lord. We see that first and foremost with Adam representing us. We are in enmity with God in birth. Talia was born in sin. That's where she starts. But even in grace, even living in relationship with God, we know sin is still there. It clings so closely to us. And sin is death. Sin is still death. If you choose to commit sin, you are choosing death. If you leave the Lord's path behind, if you leave righteousness, that is suicide. Wantonly going into sin, indulging, you are killing yourself. That's what Judas did. It is appropriate that his life ended with suicide, because that's what he did. He left Jesus as a disciple. He chose idolatry. He chose sin. He chose death. Boys and girls, what's Ephesians 6, 1 through 3? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and you live long on the earth. With sin, it does not go well with you. The Lord takes sin so seriously that he required cleansing for even the smallest, even the quote-unquote most insignificant sin. Don't come before the Lord with even little defilements. He knows about all those little sins. The sins that only you are aware of in your life. He knows them. Now last week we heard from Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet beholding the glory of the Lord in the temple. What was Isaiah's first response? Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. Essentially saying, I can't be here. I am not right to stand before you, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Isaiah confessed sin. God calls him. He's in God's presence. He confessed sin. In our service, in our liturgy, this ought to reflect a similar demeanor in us. He is holy. In our sin, we are not. So confess your sin. And this is an essential part of the worship service of God's people. And frankly, it's one of the best, because it drives us to Christ. We recognize we have no righteousness of our own. We can't stand before the glory of the true and living God all on our own. We need a Savior. So we go to Jesus. Jesus purchased us for eternal life. He saves us from our sins. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. He became that sin offering for us. He's the purification offering that cleanses us. Jesus is the priest who washes us and brings us back into worship. His is the blood sprinkled on us that covers us, that the Father doesn't see our sins or unrighteousness. Jesus makes us white as snow. And that's why we can declare together that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. But we live in a world that God cursed. And we come into contact with death and filth and sin still in our lives. But the difference now compared to the old covenant is because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, our feet can get dirty. Boys and girls, you can have dirty feet. Your hands can get dirty. When we come to church, we don't have to take off our shoes like Moses or Joshua. Dirt does not make us unclean. Contact with dead bodies, with mothers who recently delivered, with dead animals, they do not make us unclean. Sin makes us unclean. The impure thoughts in our hearts and minds, our disobedient actions and evil deeds, those the Lord looks upon us and declares us unclean. The law declares us unclean. In our lives, adopting worldliness defiles us. Eating bacon and eating lobster don't make you impure. Lust, bitterness, and pride do. So to be near God in worship, we have to confess our sins. And that's why it's right away at the beginning of the service. Confess our sins. Be declared clean. You are washed. Jesus Christ also purchased us for eternal life. And to be near God for eternity, we must also be clean. We are restored to our standing in Adam before the fall. Jesus restores us by giving us an immediate cleansing in our baptism. You witnessed one today. By the blood of Jesus, Talia is clean. In your baptisms, you are united to Jesus. And God sees his righteousness covering us. But just as Jesus is remaking the world by his Spirit, the world he purchased with his blood, he's remaking you by the Holy Spirit. You are clean, but you still get dirty. You still sin. So the Spirit needs to wash you. You don't need to be rebaptized. You just need to confess your sins and repent. That is your cleansing. And over the course of our lives, we grow to be more Christ-like. We grow to be conformed more and more to his image. And as you grow and mature in the faith, you put sins away from you. Sins with which you used to struggle, you put them away and you grow up. As a Christian, you should no longer be struggling with sins that you did when you were first a Christian. Mature in the faith. This is through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. This is through regular confession, Bible reading, prayer, worship, the fellowship of the saints, loving and supporting one another. This is all to grow us in holiness. And this is a necessary work, brothers and sisters. Numbers chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. Let the hearer understand. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with water on the third day and on the seventh day. Then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches the body of anyone who's died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean. because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. Our third day cleansing is our covenant union in Jesus. This is the baptism that declares us clean. This is your third day cleansing. But when you stand before Jesus on the last day, we will give an account for how we lived. And there we will receive a seventh-day judgment, a seventh-day cleansing. And this is why as Christians we don't live wantonly. We don't indulge in sin that grace may abound. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Yahweh baptized Israel in the Red Sea. And then Moses sprinkled blood on the people. And then they had 40 years of wandering. Then they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Their voyage wasn't over after the Red Sea. They had to walk in faithfulness with the Lord to enter the Promised Land. Brothers and sisters, we need to respond to the cleansing grace of Jesus Christ, to live holy lives in this fallen world still affected by sin. We need not fear the dominion of sin because Jesus has set us free. But we live righteous, holy lives, faithful lives, keeping covenant with our Lord. And when we sin, we transgress the law of God, we recognize that sin cannot abide in people who are alive. You are not dead. Death has no place in you. You are united to Jesus. So confess, repent, and wash your feet. Live by faith. Rejoice in the cleansing power of Jesus. And that sin that you're struggling with, that sin that you're not confronting in your life, Jesus has the power to rid you of that, to rid your life of that sin, to put it away, to no longer wrestle with it. So confess it. Trust in him and faithfully take hold of that power he gives you. In the words of Psalm 32, after David had sinned and been forgiven, he declared, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O Lord, let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church. And because we cannot continue in safety without your strength and support, preserve us evermore by your help and goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.